So in the past few episodes, we have referenced the lake serpents you guys are fighting as Chessie. And I realized that Chessie is a very specific thing to the Maryland Chesapeake Bay. It's our Loch Ness Monster, as one might say. And I remember reading that we have a lot more cryptids to talk about, because Maryland has some pretty cool ones. Have you guys heard of the Goatman?
Goatman?
The Goatman. The Goatman's in Western Maryland. It's literally just like, he looks like Mr. Tumnus if he was an asshole. he's just a goat guy with a goat head and legs, and he just has like an axe and he attacks people.
Do you know where he originated from?
I'm pretty sure Mark just like dressed up as that one day, and that's where it came from.
No, because actually, it's because I used to work around that area.
Really? Okay.
Yeah. He originally, like, one of the stories was that he escaped. He was an experiment by a guy named Dr. Fletcher, and he escaped the Beltsville area because there was an ag center, like agricultural center.
Okay,
and he escaped there, and then he became like this menace to society, and killed things with axes, you know, and all that stuff. Go after people trying to get it on in their car, and he would just go and try to attack them. You know, stuff like that.
No premarital sex, and then he kills them.
That's really what gets him angry.
He's just like the Jason Voorhees of, you know,
of Maryland.
Premarital sex? What? And he just kills them.
Are you guys fucking in there? I got my axe.
Can't believe nobody invited me. We have a lot of cool cryptids. I pulled up a map. It's like a map you can get on Etsy of just like a bunch of these. But like apparently there's some that I didn't know of. Up on the like northeastern side, there's Aberdeen Wildman and then Pig Lady, and there has to be a love interest between the two of them. I mean, the Aberdeen Wildman I think is just Bigfoot with clothes on, and then Pig Lady just sounds really mean. It just sounds like somebody was just being rude to somebody.
Yeah, most likely.
But yeah, she also attacks people with her axe. I love cryptids. I love cryptids so much. And to know that there's so many in our area is just awesome. I'm going to go.
Dude, Mothman is the original goat.
Yes, yes. Well, the original moth.
Yes.
But no, yeah, Mothman is another like really cool one. And that's not too far from us. That's at, what, West Virginia, mm-hmm. right?
Point Pleasant. I think West Virginia, yeah.
Yeah, I've been there a couple times. It's always fun to see an entire town dedicated to him at this point.
And we're not too far from Jersey, so you got the Jersey Devil.
Yes, that's another one I was going to reference, is that, yeah, there's the Jersey Devil and stuff like that. But yeah, the idea of cryptids is always like fun, and like they always come up from like some crazy story that like got passed down, and you know, the game of telephone or whatever, and it always gets sort of distorted, and then all of a sudden you get this like crazy story when it was just some guy walking at night. just some poor ugly dude.
There's one near Tim, the Snallygaster.
Yes.
That's in Frederick County area.
I actually had this one here. A giant half bird and half reptile creature that terrorized early settlers in the 1700s. It would swoop down from the sky and grab pets, livestock, and children to eat. There's a Snallygaster Museum too.
What would you do if you actually came face to face with your favorite cryptid?
Ooh,
probably die. Pretty sure Mothman will suck your soul out.
Mothman is he's an omen of doom. He does not produce it. He tries to warn people, so he actually doesn't hurt people.
Yeah, he swoops down at you terrifyingly and goes, "Oh, bad stuff!
I'm pretty sure I qualify as a cryptid in some form, because whenever I walk through the woods, people take blurry photos of me.
That was
I
you!
Mean, John, if you put on clothes, then I don't think they would be trying to take pictures of you.
Don't tell me what to do.
This is America. I'll be naked in the woods if I wanna.
And then there's the other famous cryptid, the Kent Island Man. He'll come Island for you in the night and take all your zins.
That's just every Kent Island guy. That's every Eastern Shore dude.
Steals Carl, your zins and your shotgun zins. Shells.
Oh, man. But yeah, if I did, here's the thing, is that like there's a lot of people who were like swear that they have like seen these things, and I'm like, I want to believe that there's something out there because it's cool, but I'm too skeptical for these things sometimes. I'm like, maybe there's a goat man, but probably not.
Dude, there's like how many seasons of Finding Bigfoot and they still haven't found him yet?
Right. Yeah.
They didn't find a Squatch. You know.
Yeah.
There's multiple seasons of a show called Finding Bigfoot.
Yes.
Uh-huh. Yeah.
And every episode, they're like, oh, yeah, and after this commercial break, see what they found. They never fucking find anything.
They didn't find anything, yeah.
Man,
it's just like Ghost Hunters.
They realize there's, like, hungry people out there that money could go toward.
Well, what's funny is that...
really, Kelly, you're going to rag on reality TV Squatch hunting when there's data centers being raised left and right? Hey, leave the Bigfoot hunters alone.
It just seems like a vacation. They're just vacationing in the woods all over the place.
Next episode in rural Montana, Krubba and Hicks.
Someone's go gonna feed the ticks.
Ew.
Why don't we convince all the ticks that there's blood inside the data centers?
Ooh, see, now you're thinking, Jake. Now you're thinking 4D chess.
That's a horrifying visual of, like, billions of these little things just crawling up.
Crawling all over data centers.
We just switched the valve from freshwater to blood, and then bingo bango.
There it is.
We learn how to use CRISPR. We genetically breed a bunch of ticks that specifically live in data centers, and then we just release them into all the data centers. Yeah. So it's like, they're still there doing their purpose, but if you work there, you're going to get covered in ticks.
No, nah, man. They'll get a fucking new age haircut, develop a taste for cold brew coffee, and become tech bros. We can't do that.
Wait, this reminds me of something. Okay, there are ants. There's like fire ants, I think, in Texas. But they specifically live inside of like electrical boxes. And they cause hell everywhere they go because they always will occupy like electrical boxes and stuff like that. And they'll cause shortages in your house. We need to take that and turn and do that with the ticks. That's how we get it.
Yeah, we don't even need to genetically modify them. We just gather them up and throw them in a data center.
I just love the mental image of us gathering millions of ticks and just yelling at them, pointing at the electric box ants. Be like them! Be like them!
Go over there!
Instead of taking the electric box ants and putting them in the data center, we have to do this with the ticks.
No, I want to be way meaner.
They'll be expecting the ants. They'll have ant traps. They won't be expecting the ticks.
Yeah, ticks famously ant-proof, or ant-trap-proof.
I've never seen a tick die by an ant trap. I'm just saying.
That's a great point, Tim.
All I'm taking from this is that I don't think we'd be very good revolutionaries. What if we bred ticks and released them onto a computer?
Oh, did you guys hear about the myth of ants eating thermal paste?
What?
Yeah, this person like found a ton of ants in his computer, and is like, and all his thermal paste got eaten. But no, the ants just lived there because it was warm, and he forgot to change his thermal paste, so it was like extra toasty in there.
Oh my god. That's so stupid.
That's so stupid.
That's the dumbest story I've ever heard.
Not everyone who builds PCs is smart, John.
No. There was one time I was installing a processor for a guy, and I ran out of thermal paste, and so I was like, oh shoot, dude, I'm so sorry, I don't have any thermal paste. Like I just bought some. I think my cat knocked it under like the dresser or something. It was really stupid, but I was like, I will go tomorrow and get some more, and then I'll have the computer for you. And he was like, can you use regular paste? And I was like, no. No,
just,
you can't.
Just slap some Elmer's glue in there. It'll be good.
Just go grab the Colgate out of the bathroom.
It's like, any paste will work. Any kind.
Oh, God. You imagine that, and you'll, like, catch on fire, at least.
Literally, yeah. Like, that would easily catch on fire. But yeah, that was one of the first times that I was, like, doing some PC repair stuff. And I was like,
Can you use regular paste?
I'm sorry, dude. All the ants ate my thermal paste. I gotta go get more.
If only I had some regular paste around. But the ants ate that too.
I was trying to teach these ticks how to eat the thermal paste, but the ants ate them all. What the fuck am I doing?
I'm running out of money because I keep feeding ants.
Dude, you have any idea how expensive it is to buy a billion ticks?
And a lab to help feed them in.
In the lab that I found.
Some shady guy brought them in a truck.
Oh my gosh. Well, hopefully these lake serpents are not breeding. Well, they are, for sure. You guys have not found the sex of these.
Wait,
yet,
they're fucking Get the Goat Man.
Yeah, they're fucking, yeah.
We got out of reach and they were just like, well, what else are we going to do? Let's put on a show. We never get an audience like this.
They kill one of you and then they go, God, I love you so much.
That's how they get it on.
They're doing it.
Oh, it's my real, God, it's hot.
It's a real voyeuristic sea serpent.
I mean, we were going to let them live until they started fucking.
This is correct. We're removing it from existence. So the lake serpents have done a number on you guys, but Kezra has done some pretty interesting stuff with lifting the boat out of the water.
Legit, yeah, MVP shit.
Yeah, I was going to say, that's a goated move. So
is
I'm
it a goated move, or did he just steal it from SpongeBob? Okay.
We'll take the boat and move it somewhere else.
Even if he took it from SpongeBob, I'm going to give him a hero point. Woo! Because it's a really cool idea. Now, at the end of last episode, this lake serpent had torn into Luca, Ambrose's summon. Mark, you said that Ambrose had a plan.
I do not recall. Oh, yeah. No. I remember that. Yeah.
I forget what my plan was.
He's going to summon ticks.
I am a summoner. All right. Here's my spell, 1,000,000 ticks.
I'm going to summon a box of 10 million ticks. Have you guys seen that? People are saying that they're finding boxes full of ticks on their property.
That's a genuinely funny prank.
Yeah, there's some conspiracy.
That's a horrible prank, honestly. Know, yeah. My God. They carry, well, depending on the one, they carry Lyme disease. Which
April
is
Fools, you get Lyme disease.
How long would it take for a million ticks to kill you?
Probably not that long.
It's a lot of ticks, but they're really
small. A million
is
a big number.
Has anybody here actually ever seen a nest of ticks?
Yes.
I have run through a nest of ticks. I've run through one.
There is nests of ticks.
Did you torch them with a flamethrower?
I sprayed them with chemicals.
Yeah,
that's fair, yeah.
I ran through one as a child.
Yes.
It was horrifying.
Oh, I did the same thing. It was...
Oh, no.
I was like... Because I looked down because I felt something, and I was like, what the hell? And then, yeah, there was, like, six ticks that just, like, gripped onto my socks and were trying to crawl. And I was like, no. Like,
oof.
Like, stopped on the side of the road because, like, I was running on the side of the road, and I just took off my shoe and just, you know, did what I could to remove them. I mean, I was just smacking them.
Did you take
them
to the nearest data center?
This was before data centers like that.
Before that.
Oh my God.
That's a good time.
This was like 10 years ago.
Well, I'll say this before we get into it. If you are out in the woods, please use a spray, you know, whatever. There's a method where you can wrap your pants in duct tape, like outside, like sticky side out. So that way it like stops the tick from crawling up your legs. Please protect yourself. Ticks are, there's a lot this year and they're very dangerous.
Yes.
It's a very serious problem. In the woods. That's why I collect them in boxes and put them on random people's properties.
Damn it.
We knew it.
That's just a joke. Never do that.
Mark, oh, what are you doing?
What am I doing? Right now he is grabbed, right? Luca is?
Yes.
Let's see. Because the thing is, he's not looking pretty well. I will say I'm below half. Rather not take too many more hits because I'm the biggest target here. But going to do an act together. With one action for Luca, he is going to swing on the serpent that is holding him.
All right.
Because, well, you're within range. Let's roll. Okay. 38 to hit.
38 is a hit.
I want a crit so bad, but that's never going to happen. Alright.
Probably not.
No, god no. Not with these guys. low damage. 19 points of damage.
Okay.
And for second action... well, for Ambrose's action, Luca is going to disappear, as he is going to put him away. Recall him. So...
Disappears.
Yep, he just simply disappears. I am basically unmanifesting him for the time being.
Okay.
And because Ambrose is just constant. He's invisible in the boat still.
Yeah.
And is bleeding profusely.
Okay. I've just moved him to the south, so when you want to, you can bring him in and put him
over. Right.
But. Okay. Is that your whole turn to do all that?
Yeah. It's unfortunately three actions to unmanifest.
Gotcha.
I'm thinking, sorry. I just thought of something I could do, actually, that might be a little bit more viable.
Ooh, okay.
Could I retract that?
I'll put him back here.
Yeah. Retract it, and... Basically, what I'm going to do is, instead of doing that, I will do the him three actions and Viscount one action. And Lucas on a swing again.
Okay, so this will be the second attack on him.
Oh, yes.
Okay.
Let's see. Let's go with map. Plus 18 to hit. 32.
As a miss.
Fuck. And... swings again. Damn, that was a good roll. 16, but that's a 29 to hit.
That's a miss.
And last action is that he's just going to... would I say within range? Yes. I would say within range, right?
Of Luca or the...
Of Luca.
Yeah.
He's going to cast Protect Companion as cantrip.
Oh, okay, cool.
So...
Alrighty.
Yep.
Okay, in that case, it comes to Sandor's turn.
Oh, I'm kind of torn here. There are two things I can do.
Yeah, so there's a lake serpent to... It's the one that you guys have been beating up on is to the northwest, and then there's one directly under you, but they are both attacking Luca.
Okay, we're gonna do the slightly safer option first. So, Sandor standing on the boat. Do I want to attack the one that we've been hitting or the one that hasn't been damaged yet? What do you guys think?
One that we've been hitting.
Okay.
We have to kill one of them.
Sandor raises his hands and begins speaking in an almost guttural, like... kind of sounds like snakeish, and in a 10-foot radius underneath one the serpent we've been beating up on, Sandor calls the worm spirit of a purple worm.
What?
What?
Cool.
Cool.
Comes roaring up from the water.
Listening in, Sandor is a worm caller.
That's fucking crazy. Oh,
that's sick.
So make me a basic worm. Reflex save, Jake.
Oh, that's so perfect.
I had an idea for what I wanted to do, and then Jake was just like, "Oh, you want to play a high regard? Is this subclass?" I'm like, "Instantly, yes. Instantly, yes.
Yes." so there's a 31 total.
Okay, that is a failure.
Okay,
you take 3d10. I don't think I can immobilize you. You're kind of huge, right?
Well, he's gargantuan. It'll just be the damage, but this is pretty solid damage. So,
yes,
what ability are you actually using?
Call the worm spirit. It's a feat. It's not a spell.
Oh wow!
It's a fucking sick. That's awesome.
I am kind of awesome. Where's my... Hold on, I'm bringing up the damage right now. 1, 2, 3. So sorry, this is taking longer than I wanted to.
I feel like for a split second, like Karn is getting like a little bit of purple worm PTSD. He literally just fought that thing.
Just fought one.
He's just like, you summoned that to kill us!
So that is going to be 29 points of bludgeoning damage.
Okay.
Holy shit.
Solid. Solid.
Oh, it's still alive, isn't it? Fuck.
Yeah, but it the body of water that's surrounding it is covered in blood. It's more blood than water at this point.
That right, is going to be all. I will cast shield on myself.
Okay. Garn, it's your turn.
You know, from last episode, Garn shifted the eminence into the Horn of Plenty with the idea that I needed to do some quick healing because people are starting to take some hits. But that worm is too close to dying for me not to seize this opportunity. So I'm going to spend the action to shift eminence. And then from the boat, I shall take another pillar of heaven and topple it.
Honestly, I was like, Garn, do a rain of fire like maneuver from that movie.
That was a sick movie.
What was it? Christian Bale that jumped? Like,
I think it was. Yeah.
He just had an axe. He's like, I'm gonna kill this dragon. Oh no.
Yeah, go ahead and roll me that reflex.
Reflex. 23.
Oh, that's a fail.
That's a fail.
Oh my gosh. And I have some chunky damage coming at you already because I already got 2 8s on the die. And then 27, 34 points of damage.
So Luca sliced into this thing. The purple worm spirit came up and latched onto the side, and as it reached its head to scream in pain, the pillar of heaven clocked it on the head. And then it falls into the water completely limp.
Yes!
Oh my god.
Very nice, very nice.
And as the as his weapon is retracting, because it's technically like topping the pillar of heaven is actually his weapon, it like kind of grows to some unimaginable size and then crashes. So as it's like retracting, you know, Garn is just like biceps just like, you know, glistening from like holding this giant pillar, and Ambrose, because you can see it. You may be invisible, but you can see
I can see it.
Sees this and is speechless and gains a sick 26 hit points.
Ooh. Nice.
Okay.
Garn's involuntary horniness.
My goodness, I never the lumpiness and his muscles together.
The pillar of heaven got me bricked up.
I didn't notice how much he glistened. I finally took notice. All right, after Garn, it comes to Kezra.
All right, Kezra is currently 75 feet up and flying. Obviously. Yes. And I meant to say holding the boat.
Right, yeah.
So I'm going to sustain the spell to raise the boat. It's already at 40 feet, right?
Yeah. Yep.
Okay. Then I think I'm fine with it being at 40 feet, so I'm just going to sustain it. And there's a serpent directly under the boat, correct?
Correct, yeah.
So I'm going to move the boat just, like, so there's a better vantage point for Sandor.
Okay.
So I'm just going to move it like 20 feet to the side.
Okay. So I will move the serpent 20 feet then.
Yeah.
So
there we go.
Yeah. There we go. Okay.
Next I will go and I will fly down and land on the boat. Right next to Sandor, actually.
All right.
And last action, I'm just gonna have to put up shield, I think. Actually, what knowledge would these things be?
Nature.
Not trained.
They are natural creatures.
Not trained in nature.
If you have lore, Chesapeake Bay, that also works.
I will allow that. If you have that lore,
I have lore dragons.
I don't think there were any dragons in the lore of... I guess the Snallygaster or the Jabberwocks were Maryland dragon things.
Snallygast.
Anyway. Yeah.
Then, yeah, I'll use my shield.
Okay. It comes to the Lick Serpent's turn that is still alive. As the other one lays limp, it looks and nudges the one that is now dead.
Aww.
And then, realizing what happened, is going to look up at you, Sandor, and is going to spit at you with its water spout attack.
How dare you?
Hydro pump! 36 to hit.
That hits.
Okay. Oh.
He probably has a pretty significant cover, but I'm guessing not enough to beat a 36.
Probably not.
No.
So it's going to be 13 bludgeoning damage.
Ouch.
But then I need you to make me a fortitude save.
Oh, right. I forgot about this stinky thing.
Pretty sure I did just fine on that fortitude save. Let me pull my sheet up. 36.
So yeah, you are fine. So after that, the Lake Serpent seems to dive down to the bottom.
I'm not going after that fucking thing.
I mean, we killed one.
Yeah, we did.
They wanted us to report what happened. What happened is there's a Lake Serpent that's poisoning the crabs. They just gotta go send some people out there and kill it. They have a wizard that can just, like, can blast a hole in the side of a mountain. Like, more powerful than Sandor. Like, Sandor is freaking and powerful, so this other wizard guy can take care of this. We did our duty.
It comes to Ambrose's turn.
Alright. Alright, so the funny thing is, like, Ambrose is up there, and after he got released from the grab, because the creature's dead...
Yep.
And is the water, like, super murky, or is it, bloody?
It's pretty murky now because of all the blood and stuff, it has a swim speed of 60, so it went 60 feet down.
So there's no way that Luca could even see it?
Probably not.
Oh, okay. I would say Luca is going to act together. Luca's going to take a 2-action to prepare an attack, just in case. If it gets close to come after him, he's going to swing out. Same thing, Ambrose is going to cast Protect Companion.
Okay. Sandor, it comes to your turn.
I mean, what are we doing here? I'm certainly not going after.
Lightning Bolt has a pretty long range, right?
Does, but I don't think it goes through water.
Why not? It's electricity. Wouldn't it zap the whole lake?
You would fry every crab.
All the crabs get cooked, and you're like, well,
I mean, for days.
If I need to, I'll eat them.
I mean,
don't go to waste.
We are only 40 feet up. It's 60 feet down, and you have 120 foot range. Worth a shot. What else are you going to use that lightning bolt for today?
I will say, when I looked up the underwater combat rules, it actually said zero about electricity. It only specifically called out fire spells.
It was for fire. Yeah, uh-huh. Yeah. Fire spells just do not work.
Yeah. It is quite curious that they didn't say anything about electricity or, like, even cold or acid. Well, hold on. They said acid. Acid is less effective.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah, because the water dilutes it.
Right.
Sandor fires a lightning bolt into the water.
Okay. So it needs to make a reflex save.
Yep.
Under the water. 33.
That's a success.
Okay.
I need to double check how much. Okay, 40, 12.
Oh, just 4d12.
You know, it's almost casual. Nothing. Using my app here.
This is the time for digital dice rolls.
Yep. 30 points of damage, so 15.
Okay.
That was a good roll.
Was actually a very good roll.
Yeah. Okay. After that.
And I cast shield on myself again, because why the fuck not?
Garn, it's your turn.
Oh, I don't think I'm hasted, am I?
No, you're blurred.
That's right, I'm blurred. Oh. I almost have the... Wait! Wait! Kezra, throw me overboard! I still have the rope tied around me.
Okay.
Okay. All right.
They can become bait. Oh my.
So you're going to delay?
I'm going to delay.
Beautiful. Okay. I was hoping you would. Kezra, I sustain the boat, and I cast haste on you. So I cast haste on you and just like push. So your turn.
All right. What action? I jump from the boat.
Okay. Splash.
And as I am hitting the water, I am leading with the Morning Star, and I use my second action to shift eminence back into the Morning Star, and I'm gonna topple the freaking pillar of heaven because I have just enough range.
Get on.
This is so dumb. This is so dumb.
How quickly does a pillar topple through water, Tim?
There is nothing in the combat rules about how quickly or slowly. So I'm going to say instantaneous.
How fast does the Morning Star sink?
Wait. We have to. It is the actual Morning Star, and it does it very quickly.
I was
going to
say, yeah. Moore's Law specifically stated that if you topple a pillar of
that was
in
the dumbest argument we've ever had.
And it kept going.
And you're still talking about it. So you must have enjoyed it.
Multiple episodes. All right. Wait, what's so? Is it a reflex save by me?
Yep.
Okay. 37.
Okay, so that's a regular success. You take half damage. All right. Oh, okay, that sounds good. I thought it was. So 15 points of bludgeoning damage.
Okay. Another 15. All right.
And I'm just bobbing on the surface.
Okay. It comes to the Lake Serpent's turn. Nothing happens. It gets pretty quiet.
Okay.
It seems that the other Lake Serpent has made its exit.
Kezra lowers the boat back down to the water.
And crushes Garn and kills him.
Yeah, I land on Garn. And I untie the rope.
I forgot he was down there. Whoops.
No, you don't untie it when you come back to shore, that you're just dragging the dead dwarf.
We're pulling the boat onto the shore, just dragging him.
There was one casualty.
He's hitting all the rocks. Hitting all the rocks as you pull up.
You all think they're joking, but I have my character already ready. He's waiting for you on the shore.
So you guys have defeated one serpent, and the other one has left. So I want you guys to discuss what you found down there, because I don't know if Kezra was around when you guys were talking. About the discovery you made.
Yeah. There was, poison fish eggs? Or crab eggs, I guess?
Crab eggs, yeah. There was some sort of alchemical substance that was, like, lingering in the water there.
And we did my crafting check determine that it was not a natural substance?
Right, yeah, yeah. That's why I say alchemical. It wasn't some sort of natural poison or anything like that that could have been introduced by the serpents.
We don't believe it was. Okay, so no, not by the serpents. So.
Wait, you said not by the serpents?
Correct.
Oh.
That's why I said alchemical.
Yeah.
Kezra, he's like, did you bring any of it up? Any of the...
Poison. Well, at the time, I was kind of busy not dying, but I can go down and get some more.
No. Garn got some, remember? Yeah. Yep.
Yeah, he was eating one. He was like, what the?
Kezra wants to be crafting.
Nice.
Oh, nice. 34. Oh, no, 36, because I'm a master in crafting. The bonus is plus two now.
Oh, my God. Oh, wow.
Bonus is plus two.
Keeps going up.
It keeps going up.
So you're able to you know, look at it in the light, and when you smell it or whatever, like whatever you would do to identify it, you can confirm the same thing. It doesn't say what it is in the book, but it's very clear that just like from the aspects of it, as you look at it, this is clearly some sort of like alchemical concoction. There's no natural remedy or anything like that that would like make this.
Is there any way to clean it up, or are we just going to report it back?
They just said to report it.
Mm-hmm.
Because like Hammersong had said, they were worried that like if the crab population goes down, that's going to be like a huge hit to like their food stores.
I think we know our. I think we've figured out what's going wrong. Let's get out of here before that thing comes back.
Yes,
I think that's sound logic.
Yes, please. I'm not quite a fisherman. And he recalls Luca, because Luca is still, I mean, hurting. Like, he becomes visible again, because invisibility wears out, and there's, like, gashes all over him.
Ah! You just appear.
Yes. Oh, yes, I was here the whole time.
I've been here the whole time.
Oh, yeah, so we just go back.
Okay. Did you guys do a nature check on the like serpents?
I did not have nature.
I don't have nature either.
Would that just be Sandor then?
Yeah, I can do that.
I can do it untrained. I mean, due to my ability.
No, I can't recall knowledge untrained.
I can.
That is going. Goddamn, 37.
Damn.
Easily success here. One thing that you recognize, and because you've lived here for so long, you would know that these things sort of hang around the crabs, and you know it's sort of an ecosystem, right? But the fact that these things willingly attacked you means that something is disrupting the ecosystem here, which means that something happened around here. You guys had talked about saboteur. It sounds like when you think about these things and the fact that they attacked you, they usually wouldn't do that.
So what you're saying is you just needlessly destroyed an apex predator. Probably a very terrible thing we did for the local ecosystem. Great.
No, I mean, otherwise we die, so...
Well, they shouldn't have attacked us.
Now that we know that Kezra has his floaty boat move, we can get away from any creature or animal, unless they have wings.
Floaty McBoatface.
Yep. So it looks like things are... People have been sabotaging it. This doesn't bode well.
Oh, it does not bode well at all. Ambrose got it.
I just wasn't going to laugh at it.
Please, don't do that.
Well, I say we take these eggs back to the council.
We have the. I don't think we're taking the eggs. We're just taking the. Did we take eggs too?
Oh, the sample. I imagine there were some eggs in the sample.
Yeah.
Oh, right.
Yeah, crab eggs so are small.
That's right.
Yeah. So just taking the poisoned sample of eggs. Yeah. Okay. You take them back to. You get back to the dock. There's a guard there who's waiting for you guys to report back to Hammersong. So he sees you all, and he comes up, and he looks at the boat has like a chunk missing out of it, and he's just like, "I pray that you all made it out just fine." And he's looking at each of you, seeing if you have like wounds.
Oh, didn't you? Yes, could have given us the echoing of the serpent lashing about the lake.
He looks out; the lake just turns into darkness after a certain point. So no.
I mean, there were fireballs and a literal lightning bolt. So.
Oh, the lightning bolt was weird. I did hear that.
Honestly, if you have any healing, I would happily take some.
Yes. If you want, we can take you to the infirmary while your friends report to Hammersong.
don't know if I want to trust them now.
We'll be sure to pick you up.
I've got to stop by Chipotle.
Oh.
Are you able to just use your fast healing out of combat?
Oh yeah, shit. I could have been doing that the whole.
It's a focus spell, so you could just.
Yeah.
Like,
Yeah, that's right. It is. I just have to 10 minutes to get a focus spell back and stuff. I burned pretty much all my focus spells. I think I did.
Oh, gotcha. I'm sure it's more than a 10 minute boat ride back.
Oh, for sure. No,
we rode back extra slow.
All right.
I said, Luca, take a break.
Let me try. Oh no, my strength of 10. Ow.
My shoulder hurts.
He just did that. Then he was just fast healing.
Okay. So when you guys get back, the guard escorts you guys back to Hammersong. Hammersong eventually sits down with you guys and goes,
I pray that your trip out on the lake was a fruitful one.
It was.
You could have used a larger boat.
We do not have ships here, Kezra.
Well, we got swarmed by two gigantic sea serpents. Lake serpents, whatever.
Oh. We have not seen those for many years. Well, legendary, a cryptid, one might say.
I got this blurry photograph.
I have a blurry drawing of one. I couldn't sketch it fast enough.
But we
drew it blurry.
But as it turns out, you've got some saboteurs poisoning the crab eggs.
I see. This is not what I want to hear, but the truth is what needs to be said. Very well, I appreciate the report. And he gives you, like, a notepad to, like, fill out some stuff. I need to go make an arrest. If you would like, you may stay here, or if you have lodging yourself. I will contact you in the morning. We believe we might have made a break in this case.
And then what of the access to the barracks? That was part of the deal.
It was. This one will take you to the barracks. And he points at the guard that walked you here. And he says, let them have the look around. I trust them. Make sure that they're fitted with whatever they need within reason. And he just sort of nods. Yeah. Waits for you guys.
Mm-hmm. Well, Sandor is filling out the paperwork because he loves that shit.
I was about to say Ambrose could do the exact same thing, too. He's just like, oh.
Kezar wouldn't have filled it out if he was the only one here.
Oh. Yeah, sure, let me get to that. Just puts it in the trash.
Oh, yeah, sure.
Just burns it.
Garn would have filled it out wrong.
I actually can use legal lore, so I can actually do it correctly. So.
Oh, shit, yes. You guys got a lawyer with you?
Garn signs his name with an X.
The top of the form just says, so you were attacked by a lake serpent.
Fill out all your injuries.
On the drawing, tell us where the sea serpent attacked you. So the guard, you see Hammersong walk out of the room. He goes into a part of the barracks, and then as you guys are walking to the armory, where he wanted you to, like, one, get an item for yourselves, and also you said you wanted to, like, check out some stuff. When you see him walk out with, like, a regiment of men, it looks like he is going to do something pretty intense.
That's all that's about. Said he had to make an arrest. It's a lot of men for one person.
The guard that you're talking to is just like, it might turn bad.
Garn flashes a smile and tries to diplomatize. Black Oak Workshop, Dice or Treasure. Black Oak Workshop, Dice or Treasure.
Steps are brought to you by
Black Oak Workshop, where Dice or Treasure. And I got a 27 to be like,
He said you could trust us.
Yes, the things between the different guilds can get a little hairy sometimes.
Telling me there's some sort of guild war brewing?
I probably said too much. So the armory, and then he walks you through the barracks to the armory.
Different guilds? Did we know that there were different guilds?
Each of the council members.
They're all different guilds. They got the mercantile.
So each council member is a different guild.
Correct. Yeah.
Oh, I don't think I picked up on that.
Yeah.
There was the stonemasonry guild. He's the arms guild.
Mercantile is what we were dealing with before. Forgot his name.
Dolgin is Nolriven is the guild of magic or whatever it was called. Yeah. So they walk you through the barracks to the armory, and then it opens up and it's just a bunch of axes, hammers, swords, all of the full plates and breastplates are dwarven fitted, which means that it would only fit two of you.
Debatable, would fit me.
I thought there was going to be a slight definitely... there against Sandor. I thought you were going to be like, debatable. Would fit me.
You'll need someone to bang out some extra lumps.
So you guys can have your pick of a 11th level consumable for one.
Okay.
Okay.
So if you want to take some time to do that, you may do that. The Guild of Arms Provisions is where you'll get that. But then, like I said, it's just like rows and rows and rows of breastplates, axes, hammers, helmets.
A lot of useful stuff for me, but...
No.
Right. Seventh, or you said 11th level consumable?
Yep.
That's just like a common item.
If you want to go uncommon, we can talk about it, but
11 is like right smack dab in the middle of the charts.
Oh.
Get some really nice burial oil.
Hell yeah.
When one of us dies.
Yeah.
Let's just like look this up on our own.
Oh, yeah, definitely.
I'm definitely not going to read this line by line. I totally wasn't about to do that.
So you see the rows and rows of armors and axes and helmets.
Ah, you said anything, huh?
And Garn just goes over and picks up some weird looking thing and sticks it in his pocket.
Oh wow!
Picks up a thing. Yeah, yep. I'll pick up a thing too.
I'll pick up a thing too.
Sandor, I guess you helped us out. I suppose you can take one too.
I wanted to talk to you guys about that. You probably have noticed I've been following you around a bit.
Well, we thought it was out of boredom. That wizard seemed pretty preoccupied with those rocks.
I mean, those rocks were very interesting, but. I have no real point in hiding it. I've been spying on you.
You're an awful spy, then, if you tell us.
Yeah, you know, it's pretty obvious at this point. But I couldn't help but notice one of your... I honestly don't remember if it was Kezra or... the other guy.
You
mentioned something... The Scarlet Triad? What is that?
They're a slaving organization from the surface.
And
we've been tracking them.
Yes, they've befallen my house and did quite a number on my family. And I'm simply out for revenge, if anything else.
I was one of their captives. Separated me from my family.
I have been getting very bored working for the Archmage, and I've always been a bit more of a practical learner. Don't get me wrong, books have their place, but I've been needing to stretch my legs for a while. I was wondering if you guys wanted a wizard to tag along with you.
Your prowess in battle is unmistakably useful and incredibly valued. Yes, however, this quest that we are on is not for the faint of heart, nor for just someone seeking thrills. I have learned, Kezra can speak to this more intimately, that if you spend enough time trying to go after the Scarlet Triad, it may cost you your life.
They've taken two of our own. We know they employ a lich, which we thought we had killed, but we did not.
Lich? Interesting. Well, fortunately for you all, I need very little persuasion to put some slavers in the ground.
Very good.
I like that attitude.
I believe we're good then.
I'm a wizard of war. I need to stretch my legs.
I was a cleric of war. I think we shall get along well.
Please, yes.
I agree.
I'll let the Archmage know I'll be going on a sabbatical.
Called field studies.
Yeah. Yeah, you really just have to tell him, like, hey, I'm going on an expedition for
studying.
Research for study.
I need to study how easy it is to kill slavers.
Fair enough.
Did you get my promotely order?
Shit. Do you get the chips? You didn't get the fucking chips.
Make sure starts walking. Chips. Starts walking. Forgets he can teleport.
Now you do actually have to tell me, what was that creature that you summoned? It was a worm, similar to the one of the one that was killed in the cave.
Yes, I have an affinity for the creatures. I can call the spirit of one, and I can call its younglings.
Oh, that's actually quite amazing. I mean, and that's actually something up his wheelhouse. Summoning like that.
Yeah. And I'm working on something else. It's gonna take me a long time, but we're working towards something a little bigger.
Ooh. Well, as long as your abilities can help perhaps keep them away, I think that is its great value in and of itself.
Let me ask you one question, Holy Man.
Yes,
what do you think is more important? Justice or forgiveness?
Huh. If you were to ask me as a young man, I would probably say justice. I'm the descendant of those who fought the clan wars of the dwarves of ages past. My family has seemingly only known war and violence. If you would ask me now, I think that answer depends on if my family is still alive.
What about you, Dragonblood?
What was the question? I wasn't listening.
What's more important, forgiveness or justice?
Ooh, not big on either. But right now I'm seeking my own justice. So I'll go justice.
And you, Viscount?
You know, back when I was a child, I probably would have said forgiveness out of the sake of most frivolous, higher class functions, you know, but I will supersede that and say vengeance instead. I know it's not out of your 2 points there, but a lot was taken from me, and I need to exact an interest rate on whoever did this.
Well, I needed to know the kind of people I would be traveling with, and I think I've gotten enough information.
And what of yourself? Cannot ask us this question and not answer it yourself.
Boom.
It's painfully situational, and I'm still trying to figure it out myself.
What have you chosen in the past?
The hot-blooded always go for justice. I find forgiveness is less of a offered boon. I think they say leave that to the guards. I've never been good at forgiving.
Nor has Gorham. And that's... until late, that's who I was, a war priest of. They will tell you, as long as they have known me. They have not known a single divine magic to come from these hands. But I, when I tell you that I did wield the hot blood of justice in my veins, and I still wield it now, just differently, it seems. Tell me, have you ever heard of the death of a god?
I don't work with gods. I work with magic that mortals can get their hands around. And I don't think a god can die. But I may be wrong.
I'm still trying to figure out if what I saw was reality or fiction. I saw Gorham die. Driven through. Killed. His divine blood spilling, scattering across the sky. There was demonic war all around me, there on those shores. Some of it fell upon me. And you can see that as he's like thinking about this, like Garn, he takes like, he's like, you can see that he starts to like be in pain a little bit. And he kind of like blinks and looks around. And he's like, aren't we supposed to be questioning some people in this barracks? What are we doing in here again?
You were blabbering on about a dead, about Gorham being dead.
Gorham dead? Gorham's not dead. He's alive just as you and I are. He lives in our hearts, in the song of battle, in the clash of steel, against sword and shield. What are you going on about, Kesra?
Right.
Oh, and if my resume needed any more padding, good for y'all to know that I've killed slavers before.
There'll be plenty of slavers to kill on the way.
Good.
But yeah, maybe we should move on. Like old crazy here said.
Alright, so you guys are looking around the barracks. You got whatever those four items are that we will talk about next time.
I just love that there's just random guard just hearing this super intense conversation.
Yeah. Just keeps looking back like, alright.
I'm not paid enough for this shit.
he chimes in and he's just like, I was thinking world peace. Is that not an option?
Never. It was never an option.
tell me, Greenling, how old are you again?
Juice problems are always...
I love how like Garn worships a god of war. Like, world peace. No, not quite.
No, world peace through war. Okay.
Think about it, if we kill all the other gods.
We decided it was peace.
Exactly, yeah. Okay, so you guys, like I said, you guys are looking around in the barracks. There's some soldiers that are just kind of like shooting the shit in like the break room, and so you guys walk in and they all kind of turn towards you because you know you're not in uniform, but you're armored up, but you're not in uniform, you know.
At ease.
You're not Hammersong.
Well, you got me on that one.
Nobody is a lawyer.
No, I am a lawyer, and there is. Violations, everyone.
I fucking hate lawyers.
Wait, who are we questioning again?
We're trying to gather intel to see if there are any Scarlet Triad snakes in this tall grass. Because I have a feeling there might, like, if the Scarlet Triad is in this city, like, they've already infiltrated. Mm-hmm. So that means that there has to be, you know, members of the Triad in every guild, you know? Perhaps they're the ones who are stoking the feuds that threaten to tear this place apart.
Even. Makes sense, to be honest. I mean, that's how you destroy society. Mm-hmm.
Yep. Are they playing any? They like playing a game. They just hanging out. You said they're just talking.
Yes, yeah, so some are playing some dice games. And other ones are just there's one of them that's playing a hurdy-gurdy, and so another guy's singing along.
Okay.
It's clearly like break time for these guys.
Mm-hmm.
Shit, hurdy-gurdy. All right, well, that's some proper music right there.
Mm-hmm. I love a good hurdy-gurdy.
I wish I could get one, but too goddamn expensive.
They're also like horrible to maintain.
Yeah.
Like it's
oh,
like,
really?
Yeah. There's so many moving parts.
They make kits.
I know.
They're so expensive.
The kits they make, they're not like real high quality instrument stuff, you know.
No, but it's affordable. Like otherwise, you're paying a couple grand for.
Oh yeah, that's the problem with niche instruments. Is you either get like super cheap ones that suck, or they have to be handmade by a luthier.
So, like I said, a bunch of dwarf guards just hanging out, playing some music, playing some card games, drinking ale.
And the hurdy-gurdy goes, since we like, everyone like, well, how do you do? I am the cousin of council member Stoneborn.
You hear some groans and some other people go, oh, Stoneborn.
These are my compatriots. I'm sure you all know Sandor.
They all kind of look at you with some disdain, some hesitancy to trust you, obviously.
We were just touring the barracks. Hammersong wanted us to see the full might of this great city, you know, showing off, as it were. You know, it's good to have a display of strength every now and again. Keep us lowly adventurers in our place, as it were. But tell me, you have a game of dice going there. I don't know if you can tell. I've had my fair share of wartime games in between battles. Mind if I join you for a few rounds?
Sure. They pull up a chair for you. Then they throw you some chips, which is pretty much what they were using instead of like actual money.
Oh, they weren't using actual money.
No. The actual gambling in the barracks is extremely illegal. So.
Oh. Well, I know.
Yeah,
maybe
darn.
It isn't.
God.
Huh. Guess these guys are a bunch of squares.
Hammersong would beat the shit out.
Rules are meant for breaking.
So you sit down, and there was a game that I remember that it was like it was pretty much like Yahtzee, but it was like it was D4s. I think it was called The Well or something. It was from like back when we were playing 1A. Do you remember this game? I'm trying to remember it.
So familiar.
I do remember playing a dice game with you.
Yeah, yeah.
The only dice game I remember is Liar's Dice from Pirates of the Caribbean.
Yes, never trust a pirate.
So these guys are playing some dice game. It might be a dwarvish make, so it's like, you know, you understand it,
right.
But it does take some time. Mm-hmm. They're throwing the dice, and let's say it's like equivalent of Yahtzee,
right.
Where you know you try to get the same number over and over again. Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
Yeah, so I'm gonna try to make a little small talk here and there, like, how long have you been in, you know, under Hammersong, sort of thing. Kind of get a feel for, I guess, like how long they've been here, you know, because I'm assuming that
sure,
the Triad
sure.
has infiltrated somewhat recently, you know?
I got you, yeah. Go ahead and do diplomacy,
sure.
Just to kind of, like, talk.
Yeah.
Catch the vibe and stuff.
Oh, yeah. That's a 33.
So you catch the vibe pretty well. You find out that there's a guy named Condorly Honorbrow. He's like an older dude. And he's just like, I've been in the guard for 30 years. Moved here just before when I enlisted, and I got my nephew here, Devrick. And there's this like, younger dwarf. He looks like, you know, 30, 40. He's like, quite young. And he kind of like shakes him on the shoulder. And he's like, he just enlisted last year. And he's like, yeah, uncle, yeah, it's been fun, yeah. And so he's still pretty fresh.
Yeah.
And so this guy starts telling some stories about how when he was in Sagarok and he was doing this. But the nephew was scared the one time he went out, hasn't wanted to go out since. He only sits on the wall if he has to go anywhere near it. And so you kind of get that vibe.
Yeah. And so Azra kind of talked about like the dangers like beyond the wall. He's like Garn kind of maybe finds a part of the conversation to slot in, like, oh, you know, sometimes they say that the gravest dangers lie within. Don't know if you heard about the run-in over in the what's this called, the Earth Fire District?
Earth Fire District.
Heard about the run-in in the Earth Fire District.
Is that what Hammersong was going on about? Yes, heard there was quite a bloody fight there. You didn't have anything to do with that, did you?
Not a good liar. Why, yes, in fact.
Yes, just him. No one else.
You see, I was out there trying to catch some poses for the magazine that we're working on. And we were getting pushed around by the guards. They were trying to goad us into going into a building, and when they suddenly attacked us, it was quite strange. Do you know who was guarding that area? Like, were you friends with them?
There were two men that were confirmed dead. There's two more that are missing. But apparently there was two men under Chisel Rock's formation. Chisel Rock's the guy guarding the wall.
Oh.
And he goes, and apparently it was two of their men, but they had said that it was some beast that killed him.
Who said? Hammersong did?
That was the report that was made, but nobody really believed it.
Yeah, you have a smart eye about you. I know you've been here long enough to know when things aren't always as it seems. And Garn is kind of going to be looking to see if anyone is, like, reacting any sort of way to this information. Because he kind of feels like he trusts this guy. He's, like, been here for a long time. He's more or less, like, checking out the green guys, only been here for a year. Maybe some of the other people at the table to see if they're looking, like, kind of shifty, like, oh, these are the guys sort of thing, you know?
So, Tim, you got to roll a vibe check.
Roll
perception to see if anybody is kind of has a look about them like they're really uncomfortable.
Can I substitute that for a lore vibe? Actually, it's a new thing with the errata.
They've eroded so many weird things into this game.
I really, 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 really want to get this. I'm going to use a hero point, I am going to pull upon memories of.
Good vibes.
Garn was about to go into battle, and they were discussing the plan of attack. That's not much better. And he recounts when there was a doppelganger that had infiltrated the war planning meeting, and how they had almost gotten away. They looked a little shifty-eyed, got the information, was sidling out until one of his companions like grabbed him by the arm and is like, wait, who are you? And then like, you know, kind of a fight ensued from that. So he's kind of drawing upon that to see if he can be perceptive enough as his, you know, the paladin that he fought alongside, and he got a 29.
So you see that there were some people that were just hanging around, but you see one guy that was kind of like listening in, and like he was clearly eavesdropping into that. And the moment that this comes up, he exits the room and goes into one of the sleeping quarters.
Garn is going to make eyes with Kezra.
Kezra nods and follows the dude.
And then Garn's just gonna kind of continue on the conversation, like, oh, well, you know, it's who knows what could be happening, you know. Anyways, it was your turn to roll the dice. And he kind of motions to the young guy.
And just... Yeah, so the you all keep playing dice. Kezra, you get up and you follow this guy into the sleeping quarters.
Well, I actually cast invisibility. Oh, I wait until like everybody's like not distracted, or I like walk behind a corner real quick.
Yeah,
and
yeah.
Just poof, disappear. Well,
so you wander your way. They're having fun and stuff like that. So there's not really like a stealth check you need to make. Nobody's really looking for you necessarily. When you go into the room, there's a few sleeping dwarves in here. You can hear somebody. It sounds like they're like stifling. Like,
I try to pinpoint where they are.
So it's a long hallway sort of room, and so if you peek around the corner, you can see there's a dwarf sitting on a bed. He just has his hands. He has his face leaned down with his hands on his face.
Huh.
Looks like he's like rubbing his eyes.
So he looks more like afraid or something than like suspicious. Perhaps. Or like distraught at that knowledge.
Yeah.
Huh. I will drop the invisibility. What about what you just heard upset you like this?
He goes, you scared him. He's just like, he like stands up real fast and he wipes his eyes. He's clearly kind of crying. And he's just like, but my name is Estric. Tell me, when you fought those guards, was there a man in there named Osen? Was he red with a skinny mustache? And as he begins describing this, it sounds like one of the two dwarves that you guys had talked to on the street that you did not fight in the building.
Right.
Tell me what you know of this man. We did see him.
It's my goddamn brother. Torrid, protect him, and he smashes he punches the bedpost. He's gone missing.
Oh, missing. How long?
A few days, I think. He was out on patrol and just never came back.
Huh. When did we see them? A day ago?
Or
was it this morning?
Nah, it wasn't this morning. I think it was 2 days ago now. But it lines up with when he starts talking about it. It lines up with like after you guys had talked to them and after you had that fight, that he's been missing since then.
Ah, gotcha.
Okay.
Do you have any idea where he might have gone if he was trying to hide?
No, that's the thing. I've looked everywhere. I've looked in all his favorite bars. I've put out notices. I've been people to look for him, and I just can't find him.
Understood. We need to find this man. We need to find your brother. I don't know how, but is there anything the council could do if we could pull strings?
I don't know. I'm too small here, and you guys are outsiders. It's not like I've asked Frasten, but he just says I just need to keep praying to Torag, and he'll come back. But I've been worried about him. He's been acting funny for months.
Funny how?
I don't know. He's just shifty. He would come home late sometimes, but he was out drinking. He drank heavily, but. He liked to party, but he was just acting strange. He never wanted to talk about it. Thought a girl broke up with him, to be honest. But I don't know. I went through his things looking for stuff. I never found anything.
Where are his quarters?
Over here, and there's an empty bed there.
No personal effects.
Yeah, no personal effects. It's just like, you know, a casual pair of shoes and clothes and stuff like that. They've kept it open just because, he explains, we haven't confirmed he's dead, so
Hammerstone said I could keep the bed there until he returns, but I'm worried about him. I'm worried he's dead, or worse, he got wrapped up in something.
I think that's what happened. I think he's wrapped up in something. He's in over his head. You report to us if you report to somebody to notify us if you find your brother. What was his name? What was his name again?
Olsen.
Olsen. We'll see what we can do to find him. This might be our strongest lead.
Thank you. Sorry for crying there. It's been bothering me.
And then he hugs you.
Get the fuck off of me.
So you guys are you guys have found out that there's something happening here with some of the guards. It's clear that they were holding off to reveal too much about the guards that were dead by your hand, of course, you guys know that there was some corruption happening there. They wanted to make sure that they didn't talk about it until they had enough information and had finished their investigation before they revealed it.
Garn just spilled all the beans.
Yep.
we killed them. They attacked us.
It was us.
But it's clear that, like, there was some suspicion of some stuff happening, and everybody's kind of on edge about it. And so, with the air kind of clear there, everybody's kind of breathing with a sigh of relief, because now they know that there that like some of their suspicions were true, but now each of them are kind of looking at each other and getting kind of on edge.
A little distrust brewing.
Yeah. And with that, I'll see you guys next time.
Till next time.